This is the Jamal Show.
Down in
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
All right, we got a lot to cover today. Hello, Hartford. Hello to all my friends in podcast land. It is time again for the Jamal Show. As always, it is another great day to be alive and here with you from the studios at WKND. I hope you're feeling well. I'm great and I'm ready to go. So please lend me your ear. We've got a lot to talk about today. Now, many of you know that I always begin this show with an appreciation of life. And there's a reason for that. That reason being that as I grow older, I've realized that life is a gift that one should not take for granted at all. I've grown to have that perspective over almost 50 years. You cannot take life for granted. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to us. Even the Bible says that. Perhaps other religious books as well. And nobody knows when their time may come or how their time may end. If you don't believe me, ask Eric Gardner. You're going to have to take a trip to the cemetery to do that. If you don't believe me, ask Ahmaud Arbery. If you don't believe me, ask Trayvon Martin. You never know when your day may come. If you don't believe me, you can now ask Eric Brown down in North Carolina. Shot in the back of the head while fleeing police. I bet Eric Brown never thought that he would be gunned down by a SWAT team when he woke up that morning. None of these men knew what was coming. You won't either. And I'm not saying that you're going to be shot by a cop. Goodness no. Although anything is possible. I'm saying that I'm certain that your day will come however it comes. So you got to make the best of the time that you have while you are here. In fact, I always tell this to people who talk to me about suicide. I tell them that all they have to do is wait around long enough and Mother Nature will take care of that for them. Naturally. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It's almost beautiful. That's the perspective I've gained from living my life. Perspective is our magic word for the day. Please sit close as I rant and rave from the perspective of a black man from Harlem. Probably not your background. And let me tell you, I've learned to appreciate life from experience. I've had far too many homeboys and other loved ones die too soon. I've even lost a child. So when life gets hard, I remember to do what my child never got a chance to do, and that is to live. That's a perspective I gained from Simon's passing, and it helps to make me fearless about appreciating life and getting the most out of it. Also, I'm looking around. I see what's happening in India right now. You see that, Dr. Mack? What's happening in India?
Yeah,
hundreds of thousands of people dying in the streets from COVID-19. That could have been happening here in America, my friends. Not that I wish any suffering on our Indian friends. But for the grace of God, go us. And even if it didn't happen to us this time, it may next time. This ain't going to be the last time we see a pandemic, is it?
No.
All right. So we could be India next time.
Oh, yeah.
In case you've never been there, India is a very crowded country. Have you ever been there, Matt?
No, okay. I haven't.
I know you traveled the world. It's a developing country. Many of the residents in India don't have running water in their homes or paved roads. Initially, the World Health Community thought that India had dodged a bullet when the country was spared from a COVID-19 pandemic last year. The pandemic never really hit India until now. But now, the crematoriums are running 24 hours a day in India. I mean, smoke all over the place. It's said over 3,000 people a day are dropping dead from COVID-19 in India. The hospitals have no more beds.
Or oxygen.
So people are being sent home while they're gasping for air. And the entire country has a shortage of oxygen. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? India has money, too. It's not a poor country.
Well, so, a lot of the vaccines that we take are made in India.
Right. Interestingly enough.
Exporters of it.
And some of the biggest companies in the world are founded in India.
Unicorn.
We might as well call Silicon Valley India here, because how many people, Sun Microsystems, Microsoft's been run by an Indian guy, Coca-Cola. But if the residents of India had more vaccine, they would take it. They wouldn't make up conspiracy theories about the vaccine. Only privileged people do that. Only people privileged enough to have access to a life-saving vaccine would have the perspective to make up conspiracy theories about why they should not take that vaccine. Know any people like that?
One or two.
I do.
Bishop, did you get your shot, man? Bishop's got his shot!
One person.
Hey!
We at the Jamal Show has done our duty to humankind by convincing one person the 6 billion and a half.
I got you, so that's two.
That's true.
All right.
Now, these people make up like 40% of the Republicans in America, people that don't want to take the vaccine. And I don't think the bishop's a Republican. Are you? No. We don't have to check that.
Dovii et Neprovii? Trust but verify?
Trust but verify.
Republican? Okay,
I'm sorry. I say this all the time, but you've got to be privileged to be delusional. You have to be in a bubble, because your delusion doesn't have to. It doesn't have an effect on the real world. If you're working class or underworking class, for example, if you're an African villager who chooses to believe conspiracy theories about where the river is located, then you won't be able to fish, and you'll probably go hungry that day. Similarly, I bet that there are very few Indian residents who have the perspective that COVID-19 is a hoax, because they have loved ones gasping for air without access to oxygen. That must be terrible to watch. So I'm glad that America is helping out our brothers and sisters in India. I support that. Now, back to my point. I don't want you to enjoy life just because you'll die one day, even though that's a good reason. My personal perspective is that life is exciting. There are all these twists and turns and ups and downs in life that make life exciting. You can try to predict where you will end up in life, but you never be certain. And if you feel like you're at the bottom of your life, it can completely turn around for you. It can literally turn around for you overnight. And you know who proves that the most? You know whose life proves that the most? I'll tell you. His name is Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is a great example of how life can turn around for the better. When you think you've been screwed, life can turn around for the better. So let's take a lesson from his life. Now, maybe you're wondering just who the hell Merrick Garland is. Do you know who Merrick Garland is? You ever heard of him?
I might have.
Okay, I'll tell you. You read newspapers too, so that means most people don't know who he is. He's the 86th Attorney General of the United States, and he was nominated by President Joe Biden. But Attorney General Merrick Garland wasn't always a big shot. You may remember, I think you're old enough to remember, he was just a little old federal judge back in 2016. He was a federal judge who was nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court by some insignificant black guy named Barack Obama.
Oh, you didn't know him either.
I'm joking, of course. But the Supreme Court is the branch of government that interprets the laws written by Congress and signed by the president. The Supreme Court has a huge role in our daily life as American citizens. They are the ones who determine that gay marriage is your right, Dr. Mack. They're the ones that determine that. I know you're really interested in that.
Let my hand go.
Along with abortion and gun ownership. They're the ones that determine that you have a right to that. Now, it's a great honor. It's a great honor to be nominated for the Supreme Court. It's a job for life, so you'll never need a resume again.
Well, right now, they're talking about making it.
That's right. I forgot about that. I thought it was in the Constitution that they serve for life, but it might not be,
I guess.
That has to be set by Congress. Mm-hmm. Not that a federal judge needs a resume anyway. And that's funny, because federal judges serve for life.
Yes.
But I guess the Supreme Court is a little bit more important than that.
Mm.
The job of Supreme Court justice is constitutionally protected, so nobody can fire you, and it's really hard to impeach you. So it's actually better than being in a public service union, Dr. Mack. Not that I know anybody that's in one. They're spoiled, though.
Yeah.
As a Supreme Court justice, you really get good health care, too. Tons of vacation time, Dr. Mack, like people that work for the state.
Yeah.
And you get paid lots of money for speeches, which you haven't gotten to yet, but I'm sure that's coming. Plus, you get to stay out of the spotlight relative to the other branches of government. In fact, most people can't name one Supreme Court justice. So people aren't hassling you about the amount of power you have over their lives, which is a lot. It's a damn good job, folks. So my point is that Merrick Garland was up for this plum job as a Supreme Court justice. It was the job he wanted in 2016. Even though he had many of the perks already. But the Republicans didn't want him to have that job. because Merrick Garland would have been replacing a conservative star. That would be Antonin Scalia. Republicans didn't want Merrick Garland to replace this Republican star, so the Republicans made up a fake rule, and they screwed Merrick Garland out of the Supreme Court. Do you remember that now?
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't even meet with him to discuss the Supreme Court position. They just told him they refused to hold a hearing for him. They screwed him. The Republicans didn't even want to give Merrick Garland a chance because they hated Barack Obama so much that they didn't want Obama to get his last Supreme Court pick. So, here we go. 5 years ago, Merrick Garland was screwed out of a job that he really wanted over something that had nothing to do with him. Have you ever felt that way? Something going on above your head that you had nothing to do with that affects your job or affects your life?
Oh, the glass ceiling?
Yeah, I think I felt that way yesterday, in fact. I certainly have. If you have, then you may be able to understand Merrick Garland's perspective. Perspective, again, is our word for the day. And it is true that many people would have given up hope at that time. They would have given up hope of ever moving forward in their career. I don't know if Merrick Garland gave up hope, but I know that if I were in his position, I would have been a little depressed from being snubbed like that by the United States Congress. Now, fast forward to now, 5 years later, Biden nominates Merrick Garland to be Attorney General. And you know what? At this point in American history, Attorney General is a more significant position than the Supreme Court is. It can be seen as a step up. So as an Attorney General who only answers to the President,
if that,
Merrick Garland, Garland actually came out on top. Life turned around for him. Nobody could have predicted that Merrick Garland would be in the position to become Attorney General just 5 years after having been dissed by Congress. He is now Attorney General at a time when police stations are being looked at critically for change. Merrick Garland has a huge platform now to help facilitate structural change to policing in America. That's a bigger role than policy. That's a bigger role in policy than any Supreme Court justice has currently at this point in history. And you know what? He's using it. Merrick Garland is using the new tools he has as Attorney General to help facilitate change. He kind of reminds me of Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie always wanted to be an actor, to be famous, but she became a bank robber. And because of that, she ended up more famous than all of the actors in her time. Since he has been Attorney General, Merrick Garland has proven himself to be a friend to people of color in the fight for equal rights. And this is the spectacular part. Because if you were allowed to be a justice on the Supreme Court 5 years ago, you probably wouldn't even know his name right now. I probably wouldn't. Justices always stay in the background. But now Merrick Garland is poised to become one of the most significant attorney generals in history. And he had to fail to get there. He had to fail to get there. That's how life can surprise you. We need to learn from that. Now, since coming into office, Attorney General Merrick Garland has shown support for a moratorium on the death penalty, citing how arbitrary it is. That's him basically acknowledging that the death penalty is used mostly on black and poor people. Attorney General Garland has also revitalized the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. The Civil Rights Division was previously neglected by the stand-up comedian Trump administration. Surprise, surprise. By himself, Merrick Garland has reinstituted indirect supervision of police departments across the U.S. Trump people have gotten rid of that. Attorney General Garland has also pledged to make equal rights a focus of his tenure. He has opened up investigations into several police departments. The Minneapolis Police Department is being investigated. That's the George Floyd murder location. It happened under their watch. Merrick Garland has opened an investigation into the Louisiana Police Department as well. That's the police department that killed Breonna Taylor. Actually, I believe the shooting was a real accident brought on by the city's outrageous no-knock warrant policy. New Attorney General Merrick Garland is even indicting cops on a federal level right now. Derek Chauvin and his three accomplices that killed George Floyd have just been hit with federal charges, in addition to their state charges. Other cops have been charged in different states. Even a black cop was charged with unlawfully exerting force on a detained man. This man is using the DOJ to bring justice as he sees it, from his perspective, and I agree with it. My friends, Attorney General Merrick Garland has been busy, and for his dedication to the cause of equality in this country, you know what he gets, right? He deserves the Jamal Shaw Award for Excellence. My friends, Merrick Garland deserves this award and much more, and I'm going to allow him to express himself in his own words now. Please listen in. This is going to be under 2 minutes.
Like so many of you, I have closely watched the events in Minnesota. Although the state's prosecution was successful, I know that nothing can fill the void that the loved ones of George Floyd have felt since his death. My heart goes out to them and to all those who have experienced similar loss. I know such wounds have deep roots, and that too many communities have experienced those wounds firsthand. Yesterday's verdict in the state criminal trial does not address potentially systemic policing issues in Minneapolis. Today, I'm announcing that the Justice Department has opened a civil investigation to determine whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of unconstitutional or unlawful policing. Public safety requires public trust. I have been involved in the legal system in one way or another for most of my adult life. I know that justice is sometimes slow, sometimes elusive, and sometimes never comes. The Department of Justice will be unwavering in its pursuit of equal justice under law. The challenges we face are deeply woven into our history. They did not arise today or last year. Building trust between community and law enforcement will take time and effort by all of us. But we undertake this task with determination and urgency, knowing that change cannot wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was your Attorney General speaking. Probably the first Attorney General to be speaking with black people on his mind that much. He deserves this award. There you have it, the newest member of the Jamal Shaw Awards family, truly a great man and a great example of how life can turn around on you for the better. Unfortunately, life for me will only get worse if I don't get to my chores that require me to say the following. Welcome to Saturday, my friends, the next day of your life. This is the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent live and on your favorite podcasting network. My name is Jamal. I'm an information junkie, and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you. The vaccine to my illness does not yet exist, but hopefully there'll be lots of vaccine hesitancy when it does come out. As for me, I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming straight through the Hartford studios of WKND, and I'm doing that live until I get shot in the back of the head by a cop like Eric Brown. That hasn't happened yet, but the night is young. The revolution will not be televised, but I'm still hoping your siblings will find it cool, so please share this podcast with them. Like one of our listeners did, Dr. Denise Wunderler, shared it with her sister, and now I get to say hello to Diane Wunderler Hubka. Wow, you should get a better name to pronounce. Diane Wunderler Hubka, I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. She's from Great Falls, Montana, and I'm delighted to have her as a listener in the great state of Montana. So hello again to Diane. Thanks so much for listening. You may be a little crazy for doing that, but we like crazy people. They always listen. And of course, I'm joking. There are other people I need to say hello to. I want to maintain good personal relationships. So hello, Bishop. Looking good. And I'm guessing that's because the FBI did not raid your house like they did Rudy Giuliani a few days ago. Let me know if they do. You may have heard I'm an attorney. And I'll make sure you get my card again before I leave today. Hello to my other guests in the live studio with me. First up, I call him the man sitting next to the man. How are you, Dr. Mack?
Great. We got to say hello. We'll be on the air next week. And next week is what?
Mother's Day.
Hey, so who do we have to say hello to?
Everybody's mother, dead or alive.
Thank you.
Here or not, we love mothers, and my mother's no longer here. Thanks for reminding me of that, because I would have been feeling sad next week about that. By the way, be ready to say something intelligent later on when I throw you the microphone.
Oh, no.
And remember that your family is listening. make sure they hear whatever you say.
My mama is.
That's right. Happy Mother's Day to your mother,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, thank you.
But I can tell you who is not listening, the people who aren't listening to me at all and who will never listen to me ever, are in my audience of hearing impaired folks. Yes, we confess. We communicate with deaf people as well through our Jamal Show Instagram Live page. The master of that page is Deborah, and she uses American Sign Language to try her very best to translate what I say, and that's pretty hard. The Instagram page is actually more popular than a host of this show, so you may want to check it out for some entertainment purposes. By the way, we're also on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, but the sound is really best while using a live radio app for your phone like Extreme Mix Radio or Simple Radio or TuneIn. Use whatever you want, man. We do not discriminate. This is not the Donald Trump show. It's the Jamal show. And you can tell because I'm not asking you to send me money. But of course, the night is still young on that too. Let me remind you that we have an email club called the Think Tank Email Club. You can find the link of the Jamal Show Facebook page, which does exist, that you should already know about. You won't be sorry if you join, and we don't sell people's information, by the way. That's ungentlemanlike. Now, it has been about 2 weeks since you last heard my voice. You last heard me talk about law enforcement. Afterwards, I did make it home without being pulled over, and that's always good. Today, I want to spend a little time communicating to you guys about my perspective on some of today's issues. My viewpoint comes from my Harlem upbringing and my almost 50-year experience as a black man in America. I have nothing else to offer you but my sincerity on all topics. But how will I pull this off? Well, how I always do it, by scheming and planning on how to get you all more intelligent. In this case, intelligence is really about openness to other perspectives. You may have your own perspective, like I do. If we listen to each other's perspective, even if we don't agree with it, we both become more intelligent as a result. That's the goal of this show. Here's some information for absolutely free, but I do take donations. The Jamal Show broadcasts live every 2 weeks on Saturdays, which is more than enough time for you to get raided by the same Southern District U.S. Attorney's Office that you ran 20 years ago. I'm looking at you, Rudy. By the way, don't laugh, but I am a Connecticut attorney, so you may want to sit closer. I can be found at jamalshowradio@gmail.com. If you get locked up by the popo, shoot me an email and maybe you'll catch me between feedings. People have called on me and I do answer. I remind you that this broadcast will soon be up on every broadcast network ever imagined. That sounds like a lie. Of course it is one. But we can make it true with your help. So please share the gift of the Jamal Show with friends. Lastly, most importantly, please know that my views do not represent the views of this station. I can tell you right now that their perspective is that I probably shouldn't be here in front of a microphone. So don't mistake my words for theirs. If you want to complain, the number to do that is 860-218-2173. That goes to the bishop and he will put you on with me. Nobody ever calls because I have huge muscles, but you are free to be brave. As for now, I'm going to go ahead and call it a break. I need a drink. I need a bathroom. I need both. But what I'm going to do is pump the bathroom music to you live over the air right now. You might like my bathroom listening. This is an electric dance music song from my new friend called Perplexer. This song is called Arcane, and it's quite arcane, actually. You may love it. You may not, so why not give it a shot? Take a break with me and meet me on the other side of God. This is Perplexer. again, my friends. Hello again, my friends. Just so you know that Jamal also makes mistakes, that was Digital Dilemma by Perplexer. That wasn't Arcane. Arcane, we're going to play that next time on the next show. So that was a little bit of technical difficulty. But that was an EDM song called Digital Dilemma by my new friend Perplexer. He says he mixes music to bring happiness to people, and I believe him to be telling the truth. Now, if you also have good independent music, go ahead and send it over. That is all we play here on The Jamal Show, independent music. If the music is good, you can hit me at jamalshowradio@gmail.com. And if I like it, I'll play it on my station here at WKND 97.5 FM. And if it's really good, you might make the playlist at the station. Basically, from my perspective, you have nothing to lose. Nothing. The worst that can happen is that your music won't get played. So why not send it over to jamalshowradio@gmail.com? It is most definitely a pleasure to have you back with us on The Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent, on WKND and on podcast. I am Jamal from Harlem, the lowest paid man in the room, because nobody can pay me enough to be here talking with you. I am a t-shirt collector, jungle survivor, crocodile hunter, dragon slayer, basketball player, and a Republican tear drinker. And I thank you for being with us on this podcast. The magic word for this podcast is perspective, and I want to start by telling you what I mean by perspective, because it matters. I also want to start by saying something counterintuitive. There is more than one truth. There are many. The only real exact science is mathematics. Beyond math, every story is subject to perspective. Perspective in this sense is the lens through which your eyes look. The concept of perspective allows for there to be many different sides to one event. For example, if you see a red balloon and I see a green one because I may be colorblind in some way, then we are both telling the truth. I may be colorblind, but I'm not lying. In fact, there is scientific evidence to suggest that we all see color differently. So there is more than one truth to the color of a balloon, and I believe the same applies to religion. It makes no sense to tell a person who believes in God that there is no God. The truth is that the beliefs that people have are real to them, even if not to you. God is their truth. And that's no lie from their perspective, which is just as legitimate as your perspective, by the way. I argue this all the time with atheists. They can't figure out why they have not been able to convince a believer that God doesn't exist. The reason why that frustrates atheists is because they are looking through a different lens than does the believer. What a person of faith believes is real. Even if it's not real to you, it's their truth. Similarly, the beliefs that you have are real to you. If they were not real to you, you wouldn't have those beliefs. Here's another quick example. Let's say you go on a ride on a horse in the big open wilderness. You're enjoying yourself. But what do you think the ride is like for the horse? There are two different perspectives on that ride. If you get tired, you can stop riding the horse. But what if the horse is tired? How about if the horse wants to ride on your back for a while? How about that? I bet you wouldn't enjoy that quite as much. Similarly, when stand-up comedian Trump said, "Let's make America great again," the question, Dr. Mack, became great for who? Great for who? Because there is no greater time than now for people of color. Don't you agree?
I agree.
There was never a time in history, and I'm going to call both of y'all in for a minute in a second. There was never a time in history that people of color were more free and economically empowered than right now in America. So I can assure you that there is more than one perspective on the greatness of America's past. But let me take this topic and apply it to current times. So Joe Biden did a State of the Union speech the other night, and I'm going to be honest with you. It was a little boring. That's my take. But it's supposed to be boring. So that's good, right? It definitely cleared that hurdle. I think there was a little bit about eating your vegetables, not smoking cigarettes, not drinking, and making sure you listen to your mom and dad. All stuff that I should be doing if I want to be a good boy. Look out for your fellow man. Don't be a racist. Say your prayers. I'm joking. But seriously, Joe Biden covered a lot of topics in his speech the other day. But none of it was covered with the flair or comedic stylings of one Donald J. Trump. You got to admit that. Let me tell you. No name calling or cursing out people in his own party. None of it. However, coming from the perspective of a black man raised in Harlem, there is one part of the speech that quickly received my attention. It was the part about police reform. Now, from the perspective of the president, it's pretty clear that Biden thinks that Congress should put the new George Floyd police reform bill on his desk. And he wants it by May 25th. Now, if you're looking for police reform, perhaps because you or a loved one has been abused by the police in the past, then this bill is something you probably support. It's an expansive bill that aims to combat police misconduct, excessive force, and racial bias in policing. Here are some of the things that the George Floyd bill could cover. It hasn't been written entirely yet, but it could grant more power to the Department of Justice to oversee police departments. It would establish a federal registry of police complaints and disciplinary actions, so bad cops just can't move state to state whenever they're fired. It could possibly restrict what's called qualified immunity. Now, this is a big one, so I'll explain. Qualified immunity is the law that restricts your personal right to sue a cop for making a mistake and taking your life. It basically makes cops invulnerable to litigation in many states. So this is one of the sticking points in the negotiation. Republicans don't want individual cops to have to pay for their mistakes. They want the police department to be penalized. But when you penalize the police department, you penalize the taxpayer who pays the police department's bills. So why should the taxpayer pay millions of dollars for cops who are killing people? That's my perspective. So this is a sticking point. Moving on. This law would require cameras for federal officers and their cars and coerce states to do the same. It would restrict the transfer of military equipment to police. I know none of us have ever seen cops with military equipment, right? I mean, that's so common, right? That's gotten a little out of hand these days. This law would reserve federal funding for police departments that run anti-discrimination programs. So you run anti-bias programs and on your officers, you get money. Most importantly, this law would prevent chokeholds of the type that killed Eric Garner. I don't know why those aren't illegal already. This law would mandate that federal officers use deadly force only as a last resort. So hopefully this will help the young Tamir Rices of the world. You know, where the cops can't just see you, think you have a gun, and shoot to kill automatically. Oh, another important one. And lastly, this law prohibits no-knock warrants and coerces states to do the same. A no-knock warrant is what killed Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, that's not all the provisions. It's most of them. And you got to agree that this is an expansive bill. It's being negotiated by a few senators and representatives in the House, including Senator Tim Scott. Tim Scott, he's the only black Republican senator in the entire Senate in the country that represents anybody. You may remember Tim Scott. He was recently notable for his rebuttal on President Biden's State of the Union speech the other day. And I got to point out something that jumped out at me, and this is really serious, from Senator Tim Scott's speech. I mean, needless to say, it wasn't received well by black Democrats at all. After Tim Scott's speech, Twitter had to take down the hashtag Uncle Tim. That's a play on the words Uncle Tom that went viral after the speech. And here's why the response was so bad. Tim Scott started his speech by saying that America is not a racist country.
Oh, America is not a racist country.
I had to play that because I know you probably wouldn't believe me if I didn't play that. He started his segment or his speech saying that America is not a racist country. I got to tell you, folks, that statement jumped out at me because Tim Scott is the only black man that I've ever seen say America is not a racist country. I've literally never heard a black man ever say that before. Never. Except here.
America is not a racist country.
That's right. I've never heard a black man say that before. Unless it was to his boss or to another white person that holds power over them in some way. And that's probably what's going on with Tim Scott. I'll get to that in a minute. But when Tim Scott started his speech with that statement, I almost fell out of my chair. Here, let's watch this. I'll do an experiment right now. There are three black men in WKND studios right now of different ages. There's me, there's the Bishop, there's Dr. Mack, and we have a black female too. Now, Bishop, is it true that America's not racist? Is America racist? Is America a racist country?
Yes.
Dr. Mack, think about it now.
Yeah.
You might have to check your
contemplating.
Notes.
I'm contemplating.
Yeah, and you have a boss, too.
Yeah.
I'll play this for him.
I'd say that there are elements of racism in America. Yeah.
Very carefully said. Deborah, is America a racist country? You can yell it.
Yes.
Proof that Deborah can talk.
Yes.
Okay, so, and please, white brothers and sisters, I'm not asking you to take this personally. But the irony of Tim Scott negotiating a law to stop black men from getting choked to death by cops while claiming America is not a racist country is pretty amazing. Why do we need a law to stop black men from being killed by police chokeholds if this is not a racist country? I've never seen or heard of a white man or woman being choked to death by a police officer. Is it just a coincidence that black men tend to die of asphyxiation around cops? It's not racism, it's a coincidence. It's
right?
Yeah, the new word for racism is coincidence. Get it? And then in the same speech, Tim Scott names numerous times that he has been discriminated against in his lifetime. I mean, he goes on to name them.
America is not a racist country.
That's right. I'm guessing those incidences probably happened in a country he now claims is not racist. Furthermore, why would a country need civil rights laws to allow black people to vote freely if the country isn't racist? People who aren't racist shouldn't need to be convinced not to lynch or poll tax black people for participating in democracy, right? Why do we need the military to walk four black children to newly integrated southern schools in the 60s if this country is not racist? That did happen, didn't it?
In the 50s, they walked me.
They walked you.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't really need them. The country wasn't racist. They were you needed a friend at the time.
Show and tell.
And yeah, it was show and tell. Why do black people have a hard time getting home loans? Why is the wealth gap between blacks and whites so huge? Why is the education gap so huge? Why do black people make up a higher percentage of prison inmates? Is it because the system is fair and blacks are just unruly? Surely there are some people who will tell you that. Let me tell you something that I'm not proud of. I've been arrested plenty of times, probably 23 times, and I've never been charged with a felony. I've been convicted of a misdemeanor maybe 3 times. So what were the other 20 arrests about? And why do black people get executed first, by the way? Why do black people receive the worst health care in the country? Why are they the last hired and the first fired? Look, there's no doubt that this country has made strides with diversity. Huge steps forward. It's true. We just had a first black president. But let me clear your memory up. There were 43 white male presidents before him. And yes, cops are being held accountable now for cases of excessive force and brutality. But they are being held accountable at roughly the same rate that the nation is acquiring black mayors and black police chiefs. What a coincidence. So we know that some of this accountability being held to the justice system is really due to demographic change. Now the police chief is black. Now the mayor is black. What a coincidence. Now we're seeing more accountability placed on police officers. There are simply more blacks in power to correct the system when it shows bias. Still, there is no doubt that we are improving as a nation. Even though we still had members of Congress just a couple of weeks ago who wanted to start an America First caucus dedicated to Anglo-Saxon values in Tim Scott's own party. He didn't mention those people in his speech. He forgot those people in his own party trying to, you know, start a white caucus. How convenient. So we aren't there yet to be declaring the whole country not racist. I mean, if you really think the country isn't racist, maybe you should read what cops write about black people in their little social media groups like Facebook when they think nobody's looking. I've seen the posts. I'll tell you what. Go look up a group online called Injustice Watch. Injustice Watch. That's a group that exposes cop media postings online about black people. Go read that and find out that all of these cops are still working in government.
excuse me, coronavirus. See what they have to say about the minorities that they are supposed to be serving. Then come back to me and tell me how any country that allows cops like that to serve can't be racist. Or why don't you listen to the Nixon tapes where the president of the United States talks about how he's going to use a drug war to entrap black people. Or listen to how he's going to use the Southern strategy to get whites to vote for him. What do you think the Southern strategy is? Tell me that the country isn't racist. It's complete nonsense.
America is not a racist country.
It's complete nonsense to say that. It goes to show us that Republicans love to be lied to. That's why they hired stand-up comedian Trump in the first place. Anything to make them feel better. Tell them what they want to hear or they take the ball home. The truth is that this country was created as a haven for white people. Membership as a citizen was based on race. It was never intended to be diverse. The founders were somewhat delusional. They talked about freedom for everybody except black people. They were privileged, so they could afford to be delusional. They didn't have anybody to smack them back into reality. Our very Constitution referred to black people as three-fifths of a person for voting purposes at one point. How could a country with that in its governing document not be racist? If you go back far enough to the titles of every property in America, you will eventually find a clause that instructs the seller not to sell to black people. Could that happen in anything but a racist country? You may as well tell me I'm not fat. Did you know that black families are on track to have zero wealth by 2053? They're on track to have zero wealth by 2053. Zero wealth, up from negative. But you know what? I know why Tim Scott said that.
America is not a racist country.
I know why he said that it's not a racist country. He said because Senator Tim Scott is in the middle of a negotiation right now. He's working for the white man, which is okay. He's trying to do police reform and he's representing Republicans. So he can't have Republicans pissed at him. He has to make nice with them so he can get their vote. Tim Scott always makes the case that his position is hard as a black Republican, and he always says that it's better for him to be there in the room where he can influence legislation, excuse me, to help the black cause. That's what he's doing now. And you know what? I give him the benefit of the doubt, because if Tim Scott can get 10 Republicans to vote for police reform, it will be a great accomplishment to his credit. So Tim Scott told Republicans what they wanted to hear in that rebuttal speech. He had to. He had a greater goal in mind. Black men do that every day because they rarely have independent resources. So black men frequently have to let go of a little bit of their dignity to get something done. And at least Tim Scott is doing that with a good cause in mind. He cannot afford for the Republicans to take their ball and go home on this one. The case for police reform is just too strong. And by the way, it's about time. Now, fortunately for you, it's also time for some independent music. But we need to take a break to do that. And when we are done doing that, I'd like to come back for one more segment to talk to you a little bit about some of the news you probably missed in the last few days. And I think Dr. Mack has something to say as well. So why not meet me on the other side of LNS singing this beautiful song called Alone? Please enjoy.
Alone, why the hell you tell me you're alone, alone? I probably shouldn't have came here on my own, my own. Why the hell you dancing on your own, your own, alone? Oh, oh, walking home from school, I text my phone from a person I didn't talk to before. And they're saying that they're really close, so close. I call at the phone, but no one's there at all. It's getting dark outside. I've got a long way to go. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, why the hell you tell me?
Never heard of SUDC? Well, neither did my husband and I, and we are both physicians. Please visit www.vienna.team to learn more about our sweet daughter Vienna's story, our family's 501c3 nonprofit, Team Vienna for SUDC Awareness, and how you can get involved to help uncover these unexplained tragedies with us. As a team, I know we can get this done. Thank you so much for your support. I'm Vienna's mommy, Dr. Denise Wunderler, founder of Team Vienna and co-founder of the SUDC Coalition. Thank you so much.
Hello again, my friends. Once again, we are running out of time. That song was Alone by my new friend LNS. I really like it. I think LNS is going to be a big star. Let me run through this. After LNS, we had Team Vienna, the Team Vienna organization, tell you about what they do. As many of you know, I lost a child to sudden infant death syndrome a couple years ago. This organization is serious about finding an answer to this terrible disease that took my baby Simon. I think about our tragedy all the time, but Dr. Denise Wunderler does more than just think about her lost child. She has taken action by starting this wonderful charity. So I urge you to visit her website. Now, moving on, thanks for sticking with us on this broadcast. We are nothing without you, but I'm afraid I must notify you again that there are several fake Jamal shows out there. None of them make you more intelligent, and of course, none of them are from Harlem like I am. So you should be able to quickly see the fakers out there. Anyway, let me move on. I want to get to my good friend, Dr. Alfonso Mack. He has something to tell you today. I gave Dr. Alfonso Mack an assignment. It's seeing through the lens of your own life. And I'll go ahead and cut that. Part of having a perspective is seeing the lens of everything through your own life and experience. But this also means that you miss things sometimes. You are blind to some things that you may not have experience with, or for whatever reason you never thought was important. For example, I never really knew the importance of dressing well as a man until I got older. As it turns out, presentation is extremely important, especially in this country where people judge you in a split second. So I asked Dr. Mack, Alfonso Mack, if he could find a place where I am blind now. I asked him to give me a perspective on what I may be missing as a man at this time in my life now, something I may need to listen more to. So, Dr. Alfonso Mack, do you have anything for me? And it better be good because I'm prepared to defend myself, like Muhammad Ali. Okay. What do you got? Right. What do you got?
I want you to, well, I thought about it, and, you know, I said, well, and I know you kind of well and things like this, but I think that I want you to get past the loss of your son. That shook you to your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And, and from my perspective, you got to get past it. And I mean, but I am very, very pleased that you're supporting the organizations that try to do something to prevent it.
That's right.
From happening and sharing it with people, because if you don't talk about it, no one else knows.
That's right.
All
right.
So, you know, like you said, as you get older, you grow and things like this. But I want to go back to what I've been harping on the past few shows, and that is the administration of the vaccine and why I consider it to be a failure of its administration.
Of this administration?
Of its
administration.
Of its administration. I mean, this
how can you say that? 100 million people, dude? 100 million people have been vaccinated, and what? It might be 200 million now. No, it's only 100 million. Fully vaccinated, it's 100 million. Fully vaccinated.
From my perspective, all right, I think that the problem we're having with the resistance is brought about by the way it's being administered, all right? And because people, the way I see it right now is that you're a piece of meat. You go in there, you sit down, you bare your shoulder, you write up all your name and all your information and stuff like this, and they stick you, and then you're gone. Well, you know, people don't necessarily want to be treated like that. People want to be explained to, talked to.
So you think that people should be administered a shot by their doctors?
Indeed. Or, right.
Indeed. See, where, I would say the where, problem with that is, the problem with that is
no,
that
hold on.
Not everyone has a doctor, a primary care doctor. I think a good middle ground is They're sending it to like community centers now. They're sending it to some community centers. And they're having people deliver the shots now. And I think that's, I think environment has a lot to do with it. And I think people getting their shots in their home is going to make a difference.
Well, remember, 90% of any job takes 90% of the time. The remaining 10% takes another 90. And that's where we are. We're in that last, you know, we're approaching that, that last portion where you can't keep on doing what you were doing, you know, expecting it. So
as a doctor, really quickly, this is really interesting. The governor of West Virginia, who is a Republican, has he came out last week and said, I'm just going to give people $100 that take the shot. Now, I think that would be extremely successful in Hartford, don't you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd have a line from here to New York. You know what I'm saying? And he's doing, he's getting praised for it. I think that's too much money to do something, to get people to do something that's good for them, essentially. But he's like, I just want to get results. What do you think of that?
It's incentive, all right? And as governor, one has to believe that he represents his populace and knows what moves and shakes.
And West Virginia, and West Virginia's poor. So $100 is a lot in West Virginia.
A lot of money in West Virginia.
You know what they're doing in New York?
You can't buy coffee in New York.
Yeah. You know what they're doing in New York? In Washington Square Park, they're giving out free joints for a shot. It's called a dab for a jab or something like that.
A dab for, okay. All right.
And they got lines going on for that.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to have to find different ways. For instance, in Hartford, all right, we want to bring back the building. We want to bring back the people and back into the buildings. You want to get the traffic back in the buildings. Why not set up vaccination centers at the bottom floor for everybody that works there to come in and get vaccinated?
Well, I don't know. There's
instantly, you will have that building full.
There's
because
be.
Everybody will, you know, and then you have your traffic back and you go to the next building and do that one. The next. I mean, there are other ways in what we are doing now that will probably be, I won't even judge it. It's just a different way of doing it, while this previous way, the original way of doing it, is fading out.
Well, they had to do it on a large scale at first, right? You know, and then now they're going to have to make the push for the people who are hesitant for whatever reason. And I think they suggest all the institutions just say, you got to get a shot to come back. Now, there's got to be people like me out there that are not looking forward to commuting again. You know what I'm saying? So maybe all the buildings won't be filled again, but... You know, this is the last big push. Now, we've run out of time. I just want to leave you all guys. Leave you guys. Boy, you would think that I didn't do this every 2 weeks. I want to leave you guys with a nice quote like I do every 2 weeks. And this one's pretty good. So why don't you stay tuned. And then we're going to go. The quote is, if you don't know where you are going, you may end up someplace else. Now, if you didn't know, that would be from a guy named Yogi Berra. Man with a strange name, and I hope his words are a blessing to you. Thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast of The Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent. Please join The Jamal Show email club on our Facebook page. You will like it. And, of course, please enjoy your next 2 weeks of life until we speak to you again, unless you have other plans. And most of all, try not to kick each other in the balls. Have a good day.
This is The Jamal Show.
Down in.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is The Jamal Show. This is The Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. Jamal.
This is The Jamal Show.